It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this is high times for the phenologists in your neighborhood. We are busy recording every little event that we can follow. It's become a kind of a, I would say an every other day sort of an event for me. I can't leave some of those plants just hanging and not get some data on them. Bloodroot is blooming, and bloodroot has been blooming for a week or more. But it depends on the day. If it's a little cool or cloudy, sometimes the flowers don't open up. And on those warm, sunny days, you'll have 50 flowers or more. One of the interesting things about bloodroot is that once you establish it, or once it becomes established in an area, if you watch, you will see other patches of it appearing, not like contiguously. They're not expanding. There'll be another patch over there and another one over there and another one further over that way. And those patches are developed because the bloodroot offers a little bit of oil on its seeds. And along about mid-June, go into your bloodroot patch, separate the leaves and look down in there, and you'll see these little green pods that stand up on top of long stalks, long in the sense that they're 5 or 6 inches tall. And at the top is this green pod that's maybe an inch long. And if you break that open, there'll be 3 or maybe 4 seeds in there. And each of those seeds has a little tiny dollop of vegetable oil that the plant has put on the edge of the seed. And that makes the seeds especially valuable to the ants. And the ants come along and they find these seeds with this little oil on them. And they're like, whoa, this is good stuff. So they take that seed over to their anthill and they bring it down in the anthill and they consume the oil. And then they're left with a seed for which they have almost no use. So they throw it in their compost pile. So in exchange for this tiny little droplet of oil that the plant puts on the seed, the flower gets the seed carried away. So mom doesn't have to worry about 1,000 little babies growing up at her feet. She can confidently see the flowers growing up over there, not in her patch. So the whole process is comes under the term myrmecocary, and that's a big word, but simply means that the ants are planting the seeds for them. So check out bloodroot if it's around your neighborhood. It should be getting ready to bloom. And other things that you should be looking out for right now, I found a dandelion blooming in my yard that was away from any of the structures, not in an area where the ground was unnaturally heated by a big block wall of some kind or another. So check those out. The other flowers that are blooming right now, the pussy willows are blooming. And if you go up to a pussy willow near you, you will find, if it's male or female, if it's male, you're going to find those fuzzy little, what used to be fuzzy little white, like catkins, they're going to be larger and covered in yellow. And that yellow will be the pollen. And nearby, there will be another pussy willow with green flowers on it. And if you get in close and look closely at those green flowers, you'll see that each of those green pods is topped by a tiny little yellow flower. And that's the female side of the equation. And they are blooming right now. And all of that is important because yesterday I heard and saw my first bumblebee. And the bumblebees, this time of year, those that come out, those are the queens, and they have spent the winter underground in a hole that they've found in some place dry. They don't mind freezing, but they can't get wet. And once the spring warms them, they come out and they begin to buzz around. And the queen bumblebee is the only one who survives the winter. The rest of her worker force is gone. She is now responsible for reconstructing a hive. And what she does is she builds a nest underground, and she will make a comb. She will lay eggs in that comb. As those eggs develop and become pupa, she will begin to bring them food. She has to do all of this work herself. And in the end, she will raise 5 or 6 or 8 young bees. And those bees will then quickly take over that job of going out and securing food and bringing it back to the new pupa that will be laid as a result of both her work and the work of this first group of new bumblebees. But originally, she has to do all of that work, and she requires a lot of energy to do that. And that energy comes from the pollen and the nectar that she can collect from these early season flowers. So the bloodroot and the pussy willow are exceedingly, and the dandelion, all three of those are exceedingly important to the bumblebees. And this year, the bumblebees and the flowers are in right where they need to be. They're both out at the right time. Among the other things that I've been observing, and one thing that you're going to be wanting to check out is that now, a week ago, the male flowers began to fall off of the trembling aspens. So those aspens now are bare because they haven't leafed out yet, but that will happen probably, this is the 22nd today, and or the 23rd. Probably before the end of the month. Usually I think average now is about the 29th, and we're pretty close to average right now for development. Even though spring looked like it was going to be remarkably early, it turned out to not be, because the second half of March turned out to be more toward normal. And normal for March is cold and sometimes snowy. So at any rate, I would expect sometime before we talk again that the first aspen leaves will begin to come out. But in the meantime, if you're looking at aspens and you see one that looks remarkably green, and I have seen several, those are the female flowers, and they are starting to distend. They have been pollinated. The male flowers are all done. This pollination took place 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Those female flowers are now developing into little green pods, and those little pods will burst open and cotton will come out with the seeds on them. Popple seeds are really, really, really small. There are over 3 million of them to the pound. So they're not a big seed, but they'll be on this little bit of fluff and they'll start drifting around. These are not like the cottonwoods. The cottonwoods put out a huge amount of this stuff, and you'll see literally banks of it, waves of it, of cottonwood fluff, but not many cottonwoods this far north. They are mostly, those that are here are planted by someone who deliberately wanted cottonwoods to grow in their yard. The aspens sometimes can be very fluffy. Other years, they'll just drop those seed pods with the seeds still in them. Just let them fall to the ground. Aspens don't rely too much on seeds as a way of spreading. They spread with their roots. So check out the aspens. Also among the aspens, among that family, their cousins, the big tooth aspens are just getting ready to flower. The male flowers at my house are still quite red and not yet open, not yet releasing pollen, but that's going to happen very soon. I was up at St. Joseph's School last Tuesday, and the pollen or the male flowers were releasing pollen. And a little way away were some females, and those flowers were absolutely ripe and ready to receive that pollen. So it just depends on where you are. My big tooth aspens seem to be a little bit slow in developing, but these up on the hill there by the St. Joseph School were doing just fine and had already begun to flower. Balsam poplar, another one, the balm of Gilead. The female or the flowers are beginning to distend on those, but they are not yet being fruitful. If you have a tamarack in your yard or nearby, you should go look at it. Chances are the needle buds are starting to pop open, so you'll see little dots of green. You'll also see these quarter-inch sort of round pollen cones, and you will see the female flowers, which are kind of a taller among the little green dots. You're going to see some longer, taller flowers, and these are the female flowers. If you look at them, the ends or the tips of some of those flowers will start to show kind of a reddish color, so you can check out the tamaracks and see how they're doing. The black ash flowers are starting to open on the black ash. And let's see, what else have I got in the way of plants? Well, the fly honeysuckles, the Canada fly honeysuckle is a bush that by the time we talk again next week, it will be leafed out green, and also the red elderberry is going to have leaves out in a week. And what makes these two significant, one is that now you'll be able to see them. And if you can see the leaves and you walk up to them, if the leaves are kind of purplish and if there are these big, fat, round flowers that look like stalks of broccoli, they can be green, they can be purple. Those are the red elderberry. If the leaves are quite green and the flowers are yellow and tubular and twinned, those are the fly honeysuckles. And the thing about the fly honeysuckle is that by next week, it will be visible. You'll be able to see it in the woods. And if you look outside your door right now, there's lots of hazel and other sorts of brush that is not going to be leafing out next week. But the fly honeysuckle will. And it's worth a trip. If you see one, it's worth a trip back into the woods to look at it. Now, the fly honeysuckle doesn't get very tall. I think 5 feet would be a tall one, but that that plant is really worth checking out, and another one of those plants that the bumblebees are going to really be looking for. I want to talk really quickly about birds, and then we're going to wrap this up. Song sparrows, I heard the songs. Yellow-rumped warbler, one of my students yesterday in Cohasset, one young girl, told me that she had actually been able to hold in her hand a yellow-rumped warbler that had crashed into their window. And she held it, and it recovered and flew off. And it was her first introduction to the yellow-rumped warbler. So they are back. What I typically see with yellow-rumped warblers is they're going to be sitting in a maple tree up and amongst the flowers. They're going to dash. They're going to be darting around here and there, and they're going to scare up an insect. And they're going to dash out into the air, and they're going to grab that insect right out of the air, and then they're going to go back to the maple tree and continue to search for more insects. So watch for the yellow-rumped warblers to be doing that. I saw my first fox sparrows this last week. Average is the 18th of April. The earliest I ever saw a fox sparrow was in 2012, of course. And that was on the 18th of March. let's see. Oh, I had two experiences this past week. One, the eagles in the nest, and they must have nestlings because one of the eagles, I'd like to say he, but I'm going to keep it gender neutral. One of the eagles is making frequent trips to the nest all the time. Every couple of hours, he's in there. It's in there with food for what's ever in the nest, which is the other eagle and any nestlings that might be developing. Yesterday I watched as she got up and as it got up and adjusted the nestlings, moved them around a little bit, and then settled back down on them, keeping them warm. One of the things that happens at my house is when the eagle comes in, there's a pair of ravens who are also on the territory near the nest, and the male raven, one of the ravens, one of the ravens will get up and chase the eagle, and he makes a certain call, and it's like a keck, 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 and he's just chasing the eagle out of his territory. And the minute they get to my house, the ravens break off and go back to their territory, and the eagle continues on to his nest. I heard that often this past week, and then yesterday I was driving in town, and I noticed a crow and a merlin, And the crow was diving on the merlin and trying to give him fits, sort of chasing him. And the merlin was, of course, having none of it, being much more maneuverable than the crow. So keep an eye out. This is the time of year when there's lots of defense going on for territory. And finally, I heard my first Wilson snipe this past week. And I got a note from a friend of mine who wondered what this strange sound was that she could hear mixed in with her frogs. By the way, the wood frogs and the chorus frogs and the spring peepers are all calling at my house this week, so that's a good sign. But that is the Wilson snipe, and they're doing that with their wings. They're not doing that with their mouth. That's not a call. That's a note that they make with their wings and their tail. And they do it by sort of flashing it out. If you're lucky and you watch, they're going to be very high. And they'll fly up and they'll make a shallow dive while they make this noise with their wings. And then they'll stop and they'll fly up again and they'll make that dive and repeat that sound. So listen for the Wilson snipe. They are back. And there's a lot of stuff going on out there. I hope that you get out and get a chance to check it all out. That's the Phenology Show for this week. We'll be back again next week, and we'll do it all again.
Sign up for that Season Watch newsletter. You'll get links to lots of information about the natural world put together by our very own Charlie Mitchell. It was awfully fun to be at the table at the Iron Range Earth Fest, and people would come up and say, "Are you Charlie?" People have really gotten to know the way that Season Watch newsletter is put together. I don't even know how to explain it, but people pay attention because of the puns and the passion you can tell that Charlie puts into it. Yeah. So You'll want to sign up for it. It's at kaxc.org.
You won't be sorry.
Exactly.
It's a great, great little note on what's happening in nature around you.